And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be patient with them all. See that no one repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Great verses, great truths about how to live our life from the Apostle Paul. You know, I don't know if you've struggled to memorize verses or not, but in these that I just read you, there are two of the shortest verses in the Bible. And you can memorize them very quickly. And if you would memorize them and begin to live them out, you would see life change begin to happen. Here's the first one. It's very simply. Verse 16. Give thanks always. Rejoicing. Rejoice always. There you go. Rejoice always. Rejoice always. Not like in the, you know, the good times rejoice. Rejoice always. Just have an attitude of your heart to rejoice. Why? Because at the end of the day, as bad as it may ever get for you, if you're in relationship with Jesus, you get to live with Him in eternity. In a place in a heaven that He created just for you. So rejoice always. Then here's the second one. Let that be an attitude of your heart. But here's the second one. Verse 17. You can memorize these two. It's a total of five words. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Now, Pastor Brandon, I hear you. I've got that memorized. Pray without ceasing. But I can't pray 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. I say to you two things. Number one, yes, you can. And number two, you don't have to. Because here's what Paul means. There's a couple of pieces of it. Number one, when you have the gift of the Holy Spirit operating in your life, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can be praying in the Spirit and living your life. You don't have to stop and get down on your knees with a prayer cloth all the time to be praying. Man, I am praying all the time. But secondly, he means this. In English, make prayer a part of your lifestyle. Pray without ceasing. Make it a part of what you do. Pray throughout the day. Pastor Ryan, I can't stop for 2 hours and pray. That's fine. Pray throughout the day. Take a few minutes and spend a few minutes with God. You've got an hour lunch break. Spend 50 minutes eating and 10 minutes with God. Get up 10 minutes earlier. Don't hit snooze one time. That'll get you 9 minutes. Now, listen, you say, well, man, it's too hard to say I'm gonna spend my life praying for hours every day. I understand. We'll talk about a little bit more about that. But just figure out, can you make prayer a part of your daily lifestyle? It doesn't have to be one more thing on your checklist. Make it a part of what you do and everything. Listen, is eating on your to-do list? It's not on mine. It just is going to be. Like, the to-do list is built around eating. Sleeping is not on my to-do list. It's just something that has to happen. And you know what? Praying is not on my to-do list. It's just a part of my life. Do you understand? So pray without ceasing. And I want to challenge you today in your prayer life, because I am convinced that prayer really works and it really makes a difference. Prayer is a part of the foundation of this church. Every week, prayer is happening throughout this campus and in people's homes all over. People are praying for you, praying for the services, praying for God to move on this region and in our country. They're praying. This prayer is a part of the foundation. Ingrained in my memories of this church, right here on these corners at the base of the steps, there used to be doors there when we first built the church, and this one right over here, I'll never forget. For the huge portion of my life, there would be prayer happening right back behind that wall, and as the worship would start, about halfway into the first song, the door would open, and there would be a trail of people coming out praising and worshiping, because they've been praying for you. Now, we don't do it just like that anymore, but I want you to know that we're still praying. And I want you to get involved in prayer. I want you to make prayer a part of your life, because it really, really works. Two quick stories that just happened this week. Last night, I got a call from my grandmother, whose her knee just suddenly was in excruciating pain. And she called, and Lindsay and I went over there, and we just laid hands on her with my grandfather, and just laid hands on her knee, and she was in excruciating pain, crying, couldn't move, laid up, and in just a few minutes, God jumped into that room and began to touch her knee, and I don't know what he did or why or how, and didn't even matter to me. All I know is she began to be able to move her knee, and she hadn't done that in over an hour, and just began to move it around, and the pain began to go down, because God is just that good. He can step in. It doesn't have to be long. We didn't pray for like 3 hours, and there was not travailing and weeping and gnashing of teeth. It was just calling on the power of God to move. And he showed up because prayer really works. I had a business owner in the church, and I've had it on my heart to stop by and see him and pray for their business for a while. And I drive by it every single week, but I never can seem to remember to stop in there. And I was driving along this week, and God said, get in there and pray right now. And I said, yes, sir, Lord. So I hit the exit, whipped around, pulled into his business, and I caught him at a good time. He's kind of didn't have a lot of clients at the moment. So we just chatted for a minute, and I said, man, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. And this is what God has put on my heart to pray for you. I'm praying for new contracts and thus consistent business to come in, not just one customer at a time, but contracts that bring in large quantities of business and clients to you. And he said, man, that just really rings with what's happening. And he texted me the next day, and he said, I've got a client coming in to do a demo for the work that he does. And he said, if I get this client, it's one of the biggest clients in Southeast Texas, could change everything for me. And he said, they want to sign a contract with me. And it's just in one day, because prayer really, really works. But I'm going to tell you, with about three of us, we could sit here one after the other and tell stories in the history of this church, in your life and in mine, in this church, that for 31 years where we've prayed and God showed up. Prayer really works, but do you pray? You know the saying that says, old habits die hard? That doesn't really apply to good habits. You've been praying, and you got in the habit of praying, and you were seeking God. But you know what? It doesn't take but about 2 days to get out of the habit, and that good habit died quick, and it died fast, and it is gone. And you look up, and it's been a month, and you hadn't prayed, you hadn't sought, you didn't even pray for your breakfast this morning. Good. It's the same thing as this. If you start a New Year's resolution, and you start eating healthy, and you go for a month, maybe 2 months, and you're eating really healthy, and you're working out every day, and you're doing well. That's a good habit, but let me just tell you, it don't take but about one piece of cheesecake, and it is out the window. Somebody says, let's go to Cheesecake Factory, and you get tempted by the devil, and and that habit is out the window, and next thing you know, you hit the snooze button and you didn't go to the gym. Why? It was good habits don't die hard. They die quick and they die easy. And prayer is one of those habits that if we don't continually talk about it and make it a part of our life and intentionally do it, man, we'll look up. We hadn't prayed in a while. Loving Jesus, going to church, serving, but never spending time with God. So here's what we're going to do. Next Sunday, we're going to kick off 21 days of prayer. And I know it's not January. In January, we do 21 days prayer and fasting, and we seek God for the year. But as we go into the last portion of this year, I don't believe the year is over. And I believe that God still has more for you, for your family, for this church, for my life. And I want to seek God for 21 days. Here's what we're going to do. We're not going to do 21 days of prayer and fasting. We're going to do 21 days of prayer and feasting, if that's okay. If you want to fast, it's not a problem. What I want to do is, we're going to kick off next Sunday. I'll tell you exactly how we're going to do it. But I want to challenge this church to 21 days of prayer. And let's watch what God does. Let's watch what he does. His prayer can be intimidating. Prayer can be intimidating. I don't know how you grew up, but I've been a part of a number of prayer circles. You know where you get in a circle and everybody hold hands and you go around the circle and pray? If you ever get in one of those, let me just give you a couple of pieces of advice. Volunteer to go first. say, well, Pastor Renner, I'm scared to go first. No, 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 just trust me. Volunteer to go first. Because if you get at the end of the line, you're not praying and you're not in agreement with anybody. All you're doing is trying to figure out what hasn't been said so you can say it. Y'all been there? So you know they do the hand squeeze deal? Come on now, if you grew up in Triumph, you know what I'm talking about. So when your hand gets squeezed, you're up. Oh, dear Lord Jesus, you know. But if you're too late in line, every scripture has been prayed, everything you know has been said, and you don't know what else to do, so you just kick that thing right on down the line. You get squeezed, and you just squeeze right on. Thank you, Jesus, and just get it right on down the line. Just pass that on around. Like I said, if you get in the middle of one of those, go first and pray everything you can think of and leave nothing for everybody else. Everybody will leave thinking, man, that dude's a good Christian, but God, he got me that time. They won't ask you to be involved in their prayer circle no more. And then you get, and maybe there's something less to pray, but you get so caught up because you get one of these really good prayers. You know, the people that pray in perfect King James English, saith the Lord God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, thou knowest what thou hast done in my lifeth, I thinketh. And they start naming off the names of God. You can't even spell them. I don't know what they mean. Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Shammah, Elohim, El Shaddai. You're just going, can I just call him Jesus? and it's so intimidating. So you just like, if that's what prayer is, I don't think I can do that. I didn't get a degree in prayerology. So can I, and we end up, and so we just don't pray. Because we get this idea that prayer has to be big and complicated and hard and long and difficult, and it really doesn't have to be like that. It really doesn't have to be like that. As a matter of fact, when Jesus, the disciples come to him, and as with most Jews in the day, they spent a lot of time practicing and memorizing and reciting prayers. And they would learn them and they would recite them. So in the morning, they would say this prayer. In the afternoon, they would say this prayer. When someone was sick, they would say this prayer. When someone was needing something else, they would say that. And they had all these prayers that were memorized. But the disciples look at Jesus and they in Luke chapter 11, and Jesus is praying and they see something different about his prayer, because he's not just saying all of the recited prayers, and it's not dull and it's not boring, but Jesus' prayer life has energy and it has vitality and it's full of relationship. And they said to Jesus, Jesus, teach us to pray like that. I want you to know today, if you don't pray because you say, Pastor Renner, if I'm just being honest, every time I pray, it's dull and it's boring and I don't know what to say, I can help you with that today. I can help you. I can help you so that your prayer life is full of, you're not worried about what are you going to say and what are you going to do. That's not even in your mind, because it's just time with Jesus and it just flows naturally out of your life, because Jesus gave us a great model for prayer so that it doesn't have to be overwhelming or intimidating. But he said, just do it like this and you can experience the relationship with God that I have. If I said to you, would you like to have the same kind of prayer life that Jesus have? What would you say? He had a good one. He had a good one. I want to take this moment, and I want to honor some people in this house. I talked about the people that pray all the time and throughout the week. We have prayer going on Monday nights and Sunday mornings and Saturday nights and different times throughout the week. But I want to take a moment, and I want to honor intercessors in this house. You say, Pastor Andrew, what is an intercessor? You see, all of us are called to pray, but there's also a group of people that are called to intercede, or to, it's a deeper level of prayer. And we have them in this house, and more than one. And one of those was Sister Lucy Henry, who just went to be the Lord just a couple of weeks ago. She was an intercessor in this house, and she was praying. She would spend hours on her knees seeking God. Not everyone can do that, but it wasn't on her to-do list either. It just is who she was. And intercessors have this gift in them, this calling on them, this pulling on them, that they have no choice. They have to pray. And I'm going to tell you, true intercessors, and I know a lot of them in this house, about 99% of their time praying, which might be hours in the course of a day, it's not spent praying for themselves. They spend it praying for you. Do you realize that there are people in this house that pray for you and you've never even met them? They're praying for you, and they're praying for your family, and they're praying for this church, and they're praying for your job, and they're praying for your health, and they're praying for God to move on your behalf. And if you ever meet someone and you realize that they're an intercessor, you ought to stop and take a moment, look them right in the eyes and say, with all of my heart, thank you for praying for me and praying for others, because I'm going to tell you, it makes a difference. It makes a difference. I honor all of our intercessors. If you're here, if you're watching online, wherever you may be, I honor you today. Thank you. Don't stop doing what you're doing. It's making a difference. You see, I'm convinced about this in our life. We have the opportunity, as a Christian, as being filled with the Holy Spirit, there's two ways you can go through your life. The Bible says this: it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So here's the thing: you can go through your life with a handheld screwdriver trying to do everything yourself, or you can pick up a power tool. Now, as a Christian, if you're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, you already have the power tool in your life. But I wonder how many of us are walking around with the power tool and we're trying to screw it by hand, even though we have power in our hands. We're still trying to use it like a normal screwdriver. So we have the Holy Spirit and we have the power, but we're just twisting it and turning it and saying, man, this is really difficult. And God's saying, you know what? You have the power in your hand. If you'll just plug in the juice, you can get some business done. Every guy needs a power tool in your life. You need one of these. If you don't do a lot of projects around your house, it doesn't matter. Buy one and put it in. Every now and then, just pull it out and be like, I'm a man. You know what I'm saying? Everybody, you need one. Just pull it out and just be walking around the house just looking for something to unscrew. I just need to fix something. But the thing about power tools is the battery eventually runs out. Have you ever been working on a project and you're screwing in, you're like three screws from the end and you run out of battery? And if you take it off, it'll still go. But when you put it on the screw, it doesn't have the power to turn it. So you're like, you're squeezing it, and you're like, ring, one more time, ring, one more screw, ring. Come on now, you've been there. So frustrating. Your life, you have the power tool, you have the Holy Spirit, but what you have to know is when you use it like you should, the battery will run out. You got to refill the battery. You got to plug the battery back into the charger. How do you do that? One of the ways is with your prayer life. How can you expect to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit if you never spend any time praying and worshiping? You can take this thing with you anywhere you go. You don't have to be plugged into a wall and you're stringing cords everywhere. You can take it in your life, everywhere you go, everything you do. In fact, that's the way God intended it. The Holy Spirit wasn't intended just to work when you're praying for the sick or when you're prophesying at church. All that is good and necessary. But when you study the Bible, the Spirit of God came upon men and women right in their life and caused them to do things that they couldn't do on their own. And so now they say, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. You see, God wants you to have access to power in your life, not just to see miracles done as it relates to things like healing or prophecies or words of knowledge. All that is good, but He wants you in your job, in your business, in your family to have access to the power of the Holy Spirit, so you can be a better father than you could without it. You can can be a better husband than you could without it. You can be a better son or a daughter or an employee or an employer. You can be more with the power of the Holy Spirit than you can without Him. You don't have to separate your life and be like, no, I've got to do all this on my own. But when I go to church, I can pick up the Holy Spirit and do it. No, no, no. He wants to go with you everywhere. That's the point. That's why He disconnected the cord and gave us all access to His presence so you could take the Holy Spirit with Him, with you, wherever you go. But it's your prayer life, it's your worship life that charges the battery. There's nothing worse than being right in the middle of a project and running out of battery and you don't have a charger. And now you're standing there with a handheld screwdriver and you remember what it was like. But you're cranking away and your forearm gets all hurting. Your wrist, you're giving somebody the stank face. Where are you in your life? Where's your prayer life? Have you gotten connected lately? Pastor Ryan and I pray for people and I don't see things happen like you. You prayed for somebody and it happened. That didn't happen for me. Have you been connected in your one-on-one time, getting your batteries recharged? Let's look at this model prayer that Jesus prayed. And there are seven basic elements to it. And I want to share them with you because here's the thing that Jesus did. We can sometimes get caught up in what Jesus said and not really understanding the fullness of that. This was an outline on how to pray. Jesus didn't want you just to memorize this prayer and then repeat it all the time and call that a prayer life. He said, I want you to understand what I'm saying and use this as a model so that when you pray, you don't just repeat my words, but you're speaking from your own heart, but you're doing these things. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for the Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this. So Jesus, before He goes into His how He prayed, He sets up some contrast. And He said, I don't want you to pray like the hypocrites. The hypocrites that He's referring to here are the religious crowd. They're the Jews that were religious people, and they would stand up in the courtyards, and they would say their prayers perfectly, but they weren't really trying to connect with God. What they were doing was trying to gain the praise of men. Pray any way you want to, but make sure that your prayer is about connecting with God, not receiving the praise of men. Secondly, He said this. He said, don't be like the Gentiles. They just say a bunch of words. They're just spattering off words. It's not about how many words you use. Just take this pressure off of you. When you go to pray this week, it is not about how many words can you say in one sentence. How many commas, conjunctions, how many phrases can you put together in one sentence. It's not even about that. Here's what it's about. Are you ready? Seven things. If you're taking notes, write this down. If you're not taking notes, put them on your phone. Grab an offering envelope, write it on the back, something. But I want you to take these. It will really help your prayer life. It will invigorate you and give you life. Are you ready? Number one, Jesus says, our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. A few weeks ago, I was preaching to you a month or so ago, now 2 months ago, and I went to say this prayer. You guys will remember. I couldn't get Psalm 23 out of my head. Very embarrassing for me. It was funny. You can laugh at me because it was really embarrassing. The pastor can't remember the Lord's Prayer. But here's what He said. Our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. Now, this seems like a very simple and not a lot to this phrase. But here's what Jesus is saying. The first thing I want you to do is connect relationally to the Father. Remember, He set up a contrast here now. Some people are just praying and saying a lot of words. Other people are just praying for the praise of men. But I want you right up front to connect relationally with your God. Our Father in heaven. God has a lot of names, and we'll talk about some of those in a few moments, but His favorite is Father. Jesus called Him this over and over and over and over again. Our Father who art in heaven. He said, I want you to connect with God as your Father because that's what He is. You know, when I sit down and talk with my Father, there are times when I call Him Bishop. But when I first sit down, He just wants me to connect with Him, and He doesn't want me to call Him Bishop. He wants me to call Him Dad. Because He wants to connect with me. Now, we might get to official business later, and I might have to address Him as pastor or bishop or Brother Randy or anything else it might be. But initially, He just wants me to let's connect relationally. Look at this verse in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 15, New Living Translation. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Everybody say, I'm not a fearful slave. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba, Father. I want you to know something. You don't have to be a fearful slave wondering if God is going to strike you or if you're going to be in trouble. But God went after you and He changed the deal and adopted you so you could call Him Father and He could call you son or daughter. He wants that type of relationship with you. He doesn't want you to pray like it's a drive-through window. He wants you to talk with Him. He wants you to pray with Him. Connect with God relationally. Every prayer you begin with, when you sit down to pray, connect with God relationally. Connect with Him relationally. Number two, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. This simply means worship His name. It's as simple as that. Worship the name of God. There's power in His name. There's authority in His name. It's worth worshiping. Proverbs 18 and 10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Why? Because the names of God reflect His character and how He functions. It reflects His nature. And so when you worship the names of God, it releases the power of God in that aspect. So you think about this. If you need God to be your provider, you don't have to spend 8 hours praying and begging for Him to provide for you. Why don't you start by just worshiping Him as Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides? Like, God, I don't need anything from you right now. I'm just calling you the provider. Just reminding you that you're a provider. I'm just saying, Lord, you know everything that's going on in the world and you're a provider. Just saying, you are God my provider, Jehovah Jireh. And you watch how God begins to provide for you, not even because you asked, just because you reminded Him of who He is and worshiped His name. It's a strong tower. And if you'll run into that strong tower, you'll be safe. You'll be safe. The name of Jesus, the name of God, it carries authority. For instance, if my daughter Kennedy, who's 10, goes into my son's bedroom and says, Randy, I want you to clean your room. How many of you know Randy is not going to clean his room? Because Kennedy's name doesn't carry any power and authority. But if she goes in there and she says, Randy, Dad said, clean your room. Randy knows he better has cleaned his room or else you know. I grew up in the country, so you know. Because in my house, my name carries authority. And you got to know something. In your life, the name of God carries authority. It carries power, and it can make things happen. You just worship Him for His name. What are you asking for? I'm not asking for anything, Jesus. I'm just worshiping Your name. You want a few names of God? I'll give you a few. If you don't know them, I'll give you a few. I mentioned some earlier. Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. If you're going through strife and you got anxiety, just call Him Jehovah Shalom. And watch the peace of God enter into your life. Jehovah Raha, your shepherd, the one who leads you and guides you if you're needing instructions. How about this one? Jehovah Shammah. don't know if you know what that one means, but here's what it means. Literally translated, the Lord is there. Say, God, I don't know where you are. Just begin to call him Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. Wherever you are, he's there. He's waiting. He's ready to step in. He is there with you. Just call on his name. Pray the names of the Lord. Worship him for those names. Hallowed be your name. Number three, your kingdom come, your will be done. Pray his agenda first. Pray his agenda first. Don't pray your stuff. Don't pray your needs. Don't ask for anything. Just pray God's agenda first. Have you ever asked God, Lord, do you have a prayer list that you'd like me to pray for today? I know this is like mind-blowing right here, but ask God what he might want you to pray for. He said this. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. But seek first the kingdom. God, I'm praying for your kingdom. I'm praying for your will to be done. I'm asking you to do your will in this place. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do that, God. I'm not asking for anything. I'm just asking for you to do what you have said you would do, what you've promised you would do, and whatever you haven't said, but you want to do, Lord, do that. I'm praying your will and your kingdom. I'm asking whatever your plans are to happen in my world, in my city, in my family, in my business, wherever it is. God, I'm praying your will, your kingdom. Man, I got to tell you, have your kids, and this happened a few times while we were gone, have your kids, you're trying to sleep, and they don't wake you up with a good morning, Daddy, I really love you, you're wonderful. No. They wake you with this, I'm hungry. You know what I say? Go get a banana. Because I wasn't going to get up, but I for sure ain't going to get up now. And I wonder how many times we go right straight to God with our to-do list. God, I need you to do this, and I need you to do this, and I need you to do that. And it's not that he isn't willing. Man, I'm going to feed my kids. They do not go hungry, I promise you. It's not, I will take care of them. But man, when the first rattle out of the box is, do something for me, it doesn't put me in the mindset to help you. Kids, I'll take care of you. Just can we start with a good morning? Just a good morning. You don't even have to mean it. You know what I'm saying? You can fake it. I don't even care. Here's the thing. You were sleeping. You woke up first part of your day. You decided to have some prayer time. You were sleeping, but God's been up all night working on your behalf. Because he never sleeps and he never slumbers and he never stops. So he's been moving and he's been working. He's got sweat on his brow and he's been moving and making things happen. And you've been resting. You're laid up in your pajamas asking God to do more stuff while you were sleeping. Now, again, it's not that you don't have the right to ask him, but can we just say, Lord, you've been working on my behalf all night. You've been working. What can I pray today? What did you think of while I was sleeping that I might need to pray for? And here's one of the quickest things that he'll tell you. He'll ask you to pray for others. He'll ask you to pray for others. Because this is the way of God. This is the way of Jesus. He wants you to pray for others. He wants you to think about others. The whole message of Christianity, the whole way of Jesus, what he did, what God did for us, was to put you before him, was to put others before himself. This is the nature of Christianity and the nature of God. And, I wondered, would he want you to pray for others? Have you ever asked, before you ever said anything, God, do this for me, have you ever thought, who can I pray for today? I just want to pray for somebody. I'm going to pray for somebody else. You know what? I want you to look to your left and your right. I want you to find somebody you don't know on that row or maybe you don't know very well. Just look. Just look around. Smile big. If you want somebody to pray for you, smile big right now. It's like, hey, point to yourself like, I need it. I just want you to get a picture of that person. And when you go to pray this week, I just want you to pray for them. You don't have to know anything about their situation. You don't have to know anything about their life. You don't have to just begin to pray for them. God, I want your will to be done in their life. I want you to move on their behalf. I want you to show, bless their family, bless their kids, bless their job, bless their home. Lord, if they need a new car, Lord, bless them with a brand spanking new one. If they're trying to get a home, I want it to be bigger and better with a lower payment than they even thought possible. God, whatever they need, if they need healing in their body, just begin to pray for them. I want you to challenge you. Before you ever say anything about yourself, begin to pray for other people. Jesus spent a lot of time praying for others. I think we ought to as well. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Luke chapter 12, verse 31 in the Living Bible. He will always give you all you need from day to day if you will make the kingdom of God your primary concern. What's your primary concern when you go into prayer? Make it the kingdom of God. Number four, give us this day our daily bread. Now, if you have your Bibles open, I want you to look at these verses because this is just amazing to me. As you look from verses 9 through 13, you will see that every verse has multiple lines in it, has multiple parts to it, except verse 11. Verse 11 is the shortest verse. It just is one line, give us this day our daily bread. Can I just get real practical with you? Do you spend most of your time praying on the shortest verse about prayer? Meaning this, do you spend more time praying about your own needs when Jesus put the least amount of emphasis on praying for our own needs? Everything else was long and big and multiple lines. Do you spend the most of your time praying about the shortest verse in the model prayer? Because here's the thing. Give us this day our daily bread. Well, I've already said to you, if you'll seek first the kingdom, he'll take care of all your needs. If you'll make it your primary concern, he'll take care of everything. There is nothing that you can come to Jesus and say, Lord, give us this day our daily, give me today my daily bread, and say, what does that look like? Lord, I'm praying for this or I'm praying for that. There is nothing. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm not sure if you're aware, but I lost my job today and I really need a new job. Do you think that God's going to look at me and go, oh my gosh, you lost it. What happened? They fired you. They wrongfully accused you. I cannot believe this. Why didn't you tell me? I was off on the other side of the world helping somebody in China, and you lost your job. I cannot believe it. You're not going to catch God off guard. The moment you say, dear Lord Jesus, he already knows, and he knows what you were going to say. You don't have to say it. I'm taking care of it. So all we have to do is make this the attitude of our heart. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, you know what I need. I don't have to go through the details. I don't have to have a 45-minute venting session with you, God. You know my heart. You know the good and the bad. You know the anger that I'm dealing with because of what happened. You know the frustration. You know the fear. You know the anxiety. You know the worry. So, Lord, I'm just giving it all to you and say, give us this day our daily bread. And let me go on to praying for somebody else because I know you're going to take care of me, God. Because it's not by might nor my power, but by your spirit, God. That's how things are happening for me. That's the way it's going to work in my life. So you got me here. You'll get me to the next place. You blessed me with the last job. You'll bless me with a better. And I'm not even concerned, God, because I know that you're going to take care of my every need. If you're taking care of the sparrow and you're taking care of the animals, how much more me, who you created wonderfully and beautifully made in your image. God, I know that you're going to take care of me. So I just simply say, give me today whatever you know that I need, and I'll be okay with that. Second, let me just challenge you with this. Pray this prayer when everything's going right. Don't make God bail you out when it suddenly goes wrong. Let the attitude of your heart in the good times and the bad be, I know who my source is. You're my source, God. Everybody can be singing my praises, but I know I'm singing your praises because I know who my real source is. So just let it be known, God, if things go well, you're my source. You gave me the daily bread. If things don't go well, you're still my source and my daily bread. If I have a need, you're my daily bread. If I don't have a need, you're still my daily bread because it's not by might nor by power, but by your spirit. Do it in me, God. I give it to you. That's a way to live. That's a way to live by faith right there. All right. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Get your heart right with God and get your heart right with others. Forgive us our debts. Forgive me my sins. Lord, point out anything in my life that offends you. What sin have I committed and didn't realize? I don't know, but have you ever stopped and asked God, Lord, is there any sin in my life? Reveal it, because I want to ask you to forgive me. I don't try not to do it again, Lord. Have you ever stopped and asked God that? I know we're so busy saying, I'm not a sinner, they're a sinner, and pointing fingers like this. What do you say, Lord, just here I am. Here I am. If it's in me, And if it's offending you in some way, if I've done it wrong, forgive me, God. Show me, because I don't want to do it again. I mean, I think the heart of every Christian is that we don't want to offend God. So, Lord, if there's something that I'm doing, if there's some sin in my life that I don't even know about, I don't even realize I've done it, forgive me, God. Give me a chance to start again. Make me right with you. Big, little, anywhere in between. Because here's the thing. The Bible says that nothing can separate you from the love of God. But what sin tries to do is to try to get you out of right relationship with God. And so you may have sin going on in your life that you don't even realize, and you feel yourself pulling away from God, and you say, man, I'm trying, Pastor, and I'm going to church, I'm being faithful, but there's hidden sin, and it's pulling away your relationship with God, and God is reaching out towards you, but you're saying, I don't know what's going on. Ask him, is there sin in my life that is causing separation in our relationship? Not in his love for you, because he's going to keep coming from you no matter what. He's going to keep reaching out for you. But is there sin that is causing separation? You feel distance from God that you don't have to feel. Lord, what is it? I offer it to you. Change my heart. Forgive me. And the second part of that is this. Help me forgive others. Help me forgive others. Help me forgive others. Look at verse 14. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. This is a great promise. Father, I'm forgiving everybody else. Can you forgive me? And he will. He promises that he'll forgive you. Doesn't matter what you did. It doesn't matter. He'll forgive you if you forgive others. But here's the second piece of it, verse 15. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Here's the thing. God will forgive anything except for unforgiveness. He'll forgive anything except for a Christian who refuses to forgive. So we say every day, Lord, for those who've offended me, for those who've sinned against me, for those who've wronged me, forgive them, Lord God. Help me to forgive them. I forgive everybody. I'm going to forgive everybody in advance today because I know that somebody's coming after me. So just forgive them right now. Just forgive them right now, Lord Jesus. They don't even mean to. They know not what they're doing. So help me forgive them, Lord Jesus. And as you do, watch how the love and the forgiveness and the peace of God shows up in your prayer. Number 6, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. When you just first read this, you think that it has the connotation that maybe God would lead us into temptation. But the Bible says in James chapter 1 that he's not a God who tempts. He'll never tempt you. So what really he means here is don't allow us to be led into temptation, but Father, you lead us around the temptation. Because you got to know something. On the devil's agenda today is to get you messed up and offended and come against you. You are on his to-do list today, and it is not a good thing. He is coming after you every single day. He's not taking days off or vacations or holidays. Just because you went to church doesn't mean he's not going to come after you when you leave here. Doesn't mean that somebody in the parking lot isn't going to cut you off or bump into you or whatever may happen. I'm just telling you, the devil's coming after you, and he wants to get you. So here's what we say, Lord, before, you know, I'm asking you, God, lead me around the temptation. Because here's the thing. You serve a God that is strong enough and powerful enough. You can, if he's involved, you can say no to any temptation. But why would you want to test it? I mean, listen, you might could jump over the pond. But if you can take 30 seconds and walk around it, wouldn't that just save us all a... Lord, don't lead me into temptation, but get me around this and deliver me from the evil one. He is hot on my heels, but deliver me. And that's what God wants to do for you. He wants to help you. He wants to get you around. Finally, one last deal. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. End with this important piece. God, it's all about you. We started talking about our relationship. God, I have a relationship with you. You're my Father. We've connected relationally. End with this. It's your kingdom. It's your power. It's your glory. It's not about me. It's just about you. Express your faith in God's ability. One verse, Jeremiah 32, verse 17. Ah, Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Nothing is too hard for you, God. You created it all. It might be too hard for me. It's possible. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I'm stuck. I'm confused. But nothing is too hard for you, God. Every prayer, end by reminding yourself, reminding the devil, reminding God, nothing is too hard for you. It's your kingdom. It's your power. It's your glory. Don't wait until it's too late to call on God. Get him involved right now. Nothing is too hard for God. I'm going to challenge you, and we'll talk more about it next week on 21 Days of Prayer. But even this week, I've given you a model. Take some time and just get some life in your prayer time. Take 10 minutes. If you got 10 minutes, you can. This model can go long or short. Sometimes Jesus prayed a long time, and sometimes he prayed a short time. But just use this as a model. Seven elements. And watch how God begins to show up. But I want to end right here today. Our pastors and elders are going to come here in just a moment. I'm going to pray for you. But if you're in a difficult place and you're not sure, and you're struggling and you're concerned, maybe you need an answer. Maybe you need God to heal you. Maybe you need God to show up. You need a job. You need a vehicle. You need whatever it might be. You're trying to get a new home. Whatever it might be, you need God to show up. I want you to hear this. This is the word of God for you today. Nothing is too hard for God.